So I'm not going to sing my sermon this morning. That wouldn't be good. So for those of you that don't know me, my name is Lynn Martin. I am a student and internationals coordinator here at St. Mark's, part of the staff team. There are just 14 days left until Christmas. Are you ready? Have you bought all your presents? Have you wrapped any? Have you written cards? Are you stressed yet? As I've been preparing this morning's message, I've been challenged, actually, by what I'm going to do with the remainder of these 14 days until Christmas. If you saw my diary, it is absolutely chock full. I don't yet feel particularly Christmassy, although this morning has helped. So we're looking this morning at Zechariah's song, which comes right at the end of Luke chapter 1. But let's look at the back story of this passage. And if we look back to the beginning of chapter 1, verse 5, it says this: "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron." Surely, if ever there was a blessed marriage, this was it. Zechariah himself is a priest, and Elizabeth a descendant of the great priest Aaron. Verse 6 goes on: "Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly." These weren't just good people. These were godly people. Verse 7. But. Don't you hate that word? But. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. We don't know exactly what's gone before, because we pick this story up when Zechariah and his wife are already, as it says, very old. But I'm sure that we can imagine together so many prayers they must have prayed. So many unanswered questions. So many broken dreams. Not only had their personal desire for children been dashed, but in this day and in the culture in which they live, to remain childless carried with it a great stigma. Imagine their disappointment, their anger, most definitely their shame. And yet, these things did not keep Zechariah from serving the Lord. This was already one of the most important days of his life. There were many priests in Jerusalem, and you could wait years before you were called to serve in the temple. And here is Zechariah. Not only has he been called to serve, but he has been selected to offer the incense, a once-in-a-lifetime privilege. Zechariah had trained for this, and no doubt he was thinking very carefully about all the steps that he needed to take, not wanting to do anything wrong, to serve the Lord, to do it right, to do it well. When what happens? An angel shows up. Verse 12. "When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John.'" All those years, dreaming, praying, pleading with God for a son, how does Zechariah respond? Well, he says something like this: "Are you having a laugh? Look at me. I am seriously well past my sell-by date, and the wife is not much better. Zechariah had prayed with faith for a son, and yet when the answer came, he did not have the faith to receive it and to accept it. Why? Well, I think that Zechariah was focused on the now, focused on his own limitations, on the fact that he and Elizabeth were seriously well past childbearing years, rather than focusing on the not yet, holding on to the truth that God is sovereign and his sovereign power is not limited. God is in the business of the miraculous. Verse 20 tells us that because Zechariah did not believe the angel, he was struck dumb. Now, I would dearly have loved to have been on the outside of the temple on that day. Verse 21 says, they realized that he, Zechariah, had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. This has to have been the best ever game of charades that there has been. Can you imagine the sign language that Zechariah is using to convey that he's in the temple, he's serving the Lord, an angel appears and tells him he and Elizabeth are going to have a baby? Let's jump 9 months and get to our passage for today, the birth of John. Note that in verses 63 and 64, it is not until Zechariah obediently writes down his name is John that his voice is restored. That simple act of obedience loosened Zechariah's tongue, and he bursts into a song of proclamation. This isn't just a personal song for Zechariah. This is a prophetic song for the whole Jewish nation, and dare I say, for all people of all time. This song is called the Benedictus, and it can be divided into two sections. So the first section, verses 68 to 75, contain a prophetic declaration that the Messiah is coming. It has been over 400 years since the last prophet, Malachi. It's been over 1,000 years since the glorious days of King David. Verse 69 uses this phrase, Stephen used it earlier, the horn of salvation, a sign of strength. Zechariah is proclaiming that God has the power to complete all that he has begun. Verse 71, the Messiah is coming to bring salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. The time in which this is being spoken, Israel seems to have been reduced to some insignificant province of the Roman Empire, living under Roman rule. Zechariah continues, the Messiah is coming to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham. God has not forgotten his people. God has not forgotten his covenant. Zechariah's song reveals the deep-rooted faith of the Jewish people. For hundreds and hundreds of years, they have been waiting for their Messiah, holding on to the promises of God. Zechariah prophetically proclaims the dawning of a new day. The Lord is indeed faithful to fulfill his promises. The first part of Zechariah's song is a prophetic statement of what is to come. And what's coming is transformation. Spiritual, ethical, moral transformation. Jesus is coming for those lost in sin that they might be lifted up to worship him. For those who fear facing God, that they might be reconciled to him. For we who were unrighteous, that we might be made righteous through him. Zechariah has learned a lesson. He praises God not for the now, the birth of his son. He praises God first and foremost for the not yet, for what he believes and is prophetically proclaiming, lots of P's there, for what is to come. The Messiah is coming. God is coming to visit his people, and nothing will ever be the same again. Part two of Zechariah's song, verses 76 to 79, concern the part that his son, John, who we know as John the Baptist, is going to play in this story. Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise, but John has a significant part to play in preparing the way and pointing people in the right direction. We too live in a time of now, but not yet. Christmas is a time when we celebrate the incarnation of Christ, God in flesh, one with us. But Christmas also points us to Easter, when we remember the death and resurrection of Christ and all that it means to us. When we remember a curtain torn in two to make a way for us. That is the now in which we live. But we too wait for the not yet. The coming again of Christ the King. And in this time of waiting, we too have a significant part to play, because we are called to be the embodiment of Christ in our homes, our schools, our universities, our places of work. We are called to be the embodiment of Christ amongst our family, our friends, our neighbors, and our colleagues. So what will you do with these next 14 days until Christmas? As the video showed us earlier, are you going to run around buying those last-minute presents, stressing, wondering if you're going to get a big enough turkey? Is it going to fit in the oven when you've bought it? Or will you choose to use this season to point people in the right direction, to point people to Jesus, to the one who brings about transformation, to the one who came for those lost in sin, like we once were, that they might be lifted up to worship him. The one who came for those who fear facing God, that they might be reconciled to him this Christmas season. To those whose unrighteousness can be made righteous through him, through the person Jesus. How will you spend these next 14 days? Is your heart ready? Amen.